From the land of Grand Hoot University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the third day of March, 2023. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's at GlobalComResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas. And Mike will be here next Tuesday for the All-Day Ag Outlook. I hope you'll join us, too. Registration online, still open, though it'll close eventually at willag.org or farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. All the details of that event are right there. We'll also talk with another person that's going to be at the event. In fact, he'll kick us off in the morning. Eric Snodgrass will be here from Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agribum, and we'll do all of that on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
May corn today settled at 639¾. It was up 6. July at 628, up 4. And December contract at 571, a half of a cent higher. The March soybeans for the afternoon finished the nearby contract at 1530½. It was up 10¾. May at 1518¾, up 9½ cents. And the July futures there up 8 at 1506. Next year's November contract at 1373, and that finished 5½ cents higher. Bean meal futures on the day were up 90 cents, and the bean oil 71 cents lower. Soft red winter wheat down 4 in the May at 708¾. The hard red at 822½. In the most active May, down 9¾. Live cattle futures in Chicago finished the nearby contract at $165.42½, $1.32½ higher. Feeder cattle at $196.02. For 100 pounds, they were up $2.17½, and lean hogs at $84.55, up 77, or rather 70 cents on the afternoon. Crude oil at $79.69 a barrel, $1.53 higher. Diesel fuel or heating oil at $2.91¾, up 4¾ cents. And the wholesale price of gasoline on the RBOB about a nickel higher at $2.75¼ for the day. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands 336 points higher at 33,354. The S&P 500 at 4,044.5, around 59 points higher. And the NASDAQ up 235 at 12,296.5. Mike Zuzulo, GlobalComResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas, now joins us to discuss what's happened in Chicago for the week. But before we get to that, Mike, I want to thank you for making the drive Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, to the All Day Ag Outlook. I know it's a long way from Atchison to the Danville-Covington area, and I really appreciate you doing that.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. I'm honored to be part of it. I always have been, Todd. It's amazing when I looked over the agenda this year. It seems to me they keep getting better and better in terms of the topics that are going to be covered, how timely they are. And I would say also 2023 is probably, in my mind, could be the most important year for agriculture producers in the next decade. And I've been talking to producers that can come on Tuesday and trying to line some more up of clients and subscribers, because I think we really do have to start thinking about, you know, the potential for deglobalization on the horizon and just so many major topics that we probably haven't had to talk about in 40 or 50 years. And I'm trying to prepare a special gift to everyone who comes so that way when you come, you'll feel like it was worth your while from at least the little part that I do.
Oh, well, thank you. That'll be fantastic. It does feel like a pivotal year this for agriculture. 2023 feels like a pivotal year for agriculture. There's so much happening on the global stage, as you mentioned, and we'll see how all that pans out. And of course, we'll be talking some about globalization as well. Mark Cheney will be there from John Deere to talk about automation and artificial insemination. Deere and all those companies have a lot hanging on that particular technology, and it really requires more than just the United States to make it take place, I suppose. So it'll be interesting to hear how all of that folds into what the marketplace looks like. Trade has been pretty interesting. I watched the soybeans this week with a great deal of interest because we just had a couple of really rough days starting last week and then the first couple of days this week, and soybeans just managed to rally like a son of a gun. And if they finish the week off, and you and I are just talking right at the time the closes and settlement come in, if they can finish really well in the lead march, it would be a good sign, I would think.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, we really need it because the wheat has done the exact opposite, and the funds feel so much more comfortable in the soy complex right now than they do the grains, especially the wheat. And that wheat continues to be such a key canary in the coal mine for us when it comes to the outside market forces, whereas I think soy and soy meal have been a lot more sensitive to their own supply demand fundamentals. And those supply demand fundamentals once again kind of got reactivated with South American weather and the fact that our WASDE report next week is just around the corner, a day after our beef house meeting. And so I think between that and the fact that the trade is starting to talk more, I picked this up especially today, talking more about what's going on in the Delta and the Deep South with this change in weather pattern and potentially much, much wetter. I think these are really crucial times because beans could also be right in the center and in the dead spot of the zero line and the crosshairs of what happens between the United States and China. And they could be on the front lines of the macro fundamentals very, very quickly if China decides to ramp up a negative trade bias with the United States any more than they already have done. They've done it in the corn. Are the beans the next thing to see that happen to as Brazil comes online? So I think that's another key reason why this report coming up and the meeting right before it is so critical.
Now, you mentioned the wheat, and you made me look back at the lead option chart. It has been ugly since, what, May of last year, 1363 top there, and in that 820 range for the hard red now on the lead. It's just been an incredible drop. That would be a rough blow, a real canary in the mine across the board. And maybe the reason you're talking about 2023 being such a pivotal year, I suppose, too.
Yeah, without a doubt. Excellent point. I mean, the USDA has a USDA average cash price at 850 this year with a 600 plus million bushel carryover. We're in all the Illinois, for instance, where the wheat crop, I don't think I've ever seen it look any better this time of year. It is trading at about 650, 660 area for new crop wheat. Out in this part of the country, south of me in Wichita, Newton, Kansas, it's around 770 for the hard red wheat. So you're $1 to $2 below that USDA average cash price. Why would that be when, A, the grain extension is not a gimme at this point because of the issues with the United States and Russia, and then also the issue with the crop conditions worsening in Kansas, Colorado, Nebraska in February versus January. And I think it really does headline that macro side of the equation.
And because it's a coarse grain, it, of course, weighs on the corn crop as well. And I did talk a couple of weeks ago, producers and others listening probably heard this, to a Ukrainian farmer, and everything that he raised coming out of the Black Seas, given the weather conditions there last summer, was feed wheat quality. So there's just a lot of pressure in the corn market too.
Yeah, there is. And that's where India is a real key player here in the next 3 to 6 months. If they have a bad crop and the Indian government has said they're going to have a great crop, that could really turn the tide, I think, because those Asian buyers have gotten used to having ample Australian and India supplies the last 5 or 10 years.
You've been watching the outside markets. What worries you most? Is it the dollar, the Chinese, U.S. discussions over Taiwan, other things? What has you worried at this time?
I think the agriculture commodities could withstand better the Federal Reserve and the high interest rates in the big picture in the next 6-9 months, Todd. I think China and U.S. ties worsening could probably hit the ag sector a lot harder, but I do not like new highs in the two-year yields. That short-term money is extremely important, and it makes me very fearful of the liquidity, paying margin calls, being in the financial markets. These are kind of things that we really have to watch because these financial markets, you know, we are getting very tight. And in the big picture, we really haven't healed from that financial crisis back in 2008. I think that's all part of this massive ball of string we call the commodity markets.
And then on the flip side of that, as you think about what at least in the short term might happen, the soybeans did settle above last week's close. That gives you a hookup in the lead option and the nearby March contract. I suppose that's not a bad sign.
No, and especially with the meal getting inches from getting back up above $500 a ton, that bull spread, that 200-day moving average, that meal market, those are all key indicators as far as I'm concerned as when to have to pull some triggers.
Finally, what are conditions on the ground like in your part of the world? We're not that far away from the beginning of the spring planting season. Have you recovered enough moisture in the area?
No, not given the temperatures. And I would say we in northeast Kansas are looking a lot like last year, where we're benefiting from a lot more rain than the rest of the state of Kansas. And I'd say the guys west of me that I've talked to, who've only gotten a half to three quarters of an inch of rain pretty much the whole month of February, are really starting to get nervous again, because it is getting warmer out here. The lows are coming out, coming up, and we are breaking out of dormancy here.
And we've been talking a little bit with each of our panelists and analysts this week about the cattle market, because it's been so darn hot. Some are thinking it's close to a top, others do not. Where do you stand?
Yeah, I think we can feed the bull, but we have to feed the bull. And we did that today with the equities markets. The cattle are getting much more sensitive with the equities. That means it's getting much more sensitive with consumption. And I think the demand side's pushing back on these prices, Todd. That, and we're looking at a massive snowstorm on both the European model and the GFS. The European puts it right smack dab over Champaign. The GFS puts it smack dab essentially above me in northeast Kansas. So I hope the European's right and you get a lot of snow.
Hey, thanks much. We'll talk with you on Tuesday. And hopefully it's a good drive, right?
Keep that.
Hey, that is Mike Zuzulo. He is with GlobalComResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas. And will join us Tuesday of next week for the All Day Ag Outlook. You can too. Register at willag.org. Let's check the weather forecast now with Eric Snodgrass. He's at Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible. And on Tuesday of next week with the All Day Ag Outlook Conference. Oh, man, I'm ready. I am ready. We should have a full room over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. And you get to kick us off. Thank you for doing that, by the way.
Yeah, you bet. It's one of my favorite events every year. You always draw a good crowd, good questions, and a lot of people that are there making decisions on that information. So it's very much worthwhile. I look forward to seeing everybody there next Tuesday.
You know, I don't know how unique this event is because of the way we operate it. You mentioned the questions, but I always ask the audience to help me out all day long. I can ask questions, but it's a lot more fun when the audience participates, and they really do. They've learned over the decades that they can, and I sure look forward to having you and the rest of the audience. By the way, if you, the listener, wants to come, we invite you to register today, $30, again, willag.org. We should talk about the weather forecast. Can you go back through the activity from this week for me, please?
Yeah, this past week has been an interesting one. We had snow all the way down in Tucson. We had another 3 feet of snow in the Sierra Nevada before that. Then the storm system ejected and produced severe weather twice in the Southern Plains, once last Sunday, once again last night. And now we got this massive storm system rolling through us today, where the winds are going to be, I mean, we may have winds later on today topping 50 miles an hour. And that's not thunderstorm winds. These are just winds around this low pressure system. This system has been absolutely maddening to try to forecast, though, because of where we're going to be seeing some snow, maybe in the northern part of the state. But we may see some big wet snowflakes here in Champaign later. But, you know, last week, what this system and this series of systems did last week was it exposed again how dry things are in the Southern Plains. We saw two large dust storms in Texas. But the moisture that's coming through the Mid-South, they can't stop the rain there. So why am I saying this? Well, those are places that are trying to get field work done and get stuff going for this year, right? I mean, Texas, and then the Delta, the lower Mississippi River Valley. Too much rain there, too dry west, and as a result, there's not been a whole lot of early activity in crops on getting this next crop established here in early March. So, we had a February line and now a March line, and I think we got more a whole pride coming throughout the rest of this month. So get ready.
Well, the season is changing, and I do want to look forward, but can you do a winter recap for me as well?
Yeah, I think the winter recap needs to start with the fact that most of us did a pretty terrible job forecasting the temperatures this winter. I mean, how many times did you and I say back in like November that we were like, oh gosh, you know, I think it's an active Ohio River Valley storm track. And I said, well, you know, we might be pushing some snow. Well, we haven't done that at all here. It's been too mild. And that's where we missed. We had all the moisture. The moisture was there. It was the mild that got us. Now, this is an interesting thing about that mild weather. Okay, Great Lakes were down to 6% ice coverage a week and a half ago. They've moved back up a little bit, but still way below the average. But you know where all the snow's been, right? Parts of Nebraska, South Dakota, North Dakota, Minnesota, Wisconsin. That's the headwaters of the Missouri and the Mississippi River, right? Now, what's important about this is that that was an area that was deep in drought last year at the end of the year because of the dry fall we had. But when all of that snow came in, there was just barely frozen soil underneath it. And as a result, as this snow starts to melt in that area, it's actually percolating down, and we need to see that. We've got to cure the drought issue down there at 40 inches. And it's doing that right now. It's mucky and messy and terrible in the upper Midwest, but the drought area is shrinking. Over us, we keep getting rain out of these systems. We could get some snow as we go into March. In fact, some of our biggest snowstorms in history in the state of Illinois are March snowstorms. But the rain we're coming, seeing today coming through, the rain that we're going to continue to get, I mean, this is all just beating back the risk of drought. It's recharging the profile, so I'm happy about it. But I'll tell you, from California through the Midwest, upper Midwest, it was one of the wettest winters on record, and very mild east, but that's all about to change. So now we can get into the part of the today's talk where I ruin everybody's March forecast, okay?
Well, let's do that. Yeah. What does March and maybe April look like?
Well, my kids are desperate for spring, and I think everybody else is as well. And what just happened is that La Nina is done. It let go. The trade winds stopped their typical westward march and have completely let go and are now coming out of the west. And that just set a sequence of events up that's finally going to let cold air get here. And what it looks like is that through the second week of March and then into the third week, we've got some pretty cold air that's going to advance across the central United States. We do see that breaking in the fourth week of March and possibly into April, opening things back up. But with that colder air, it just comes quite unpleasant conditions for March, and it kind of dashes any hopes of getting stuff done in terms of field work in March. And with it, we also might finally see some of the white stuff around here. Because to be honest with you, I don't remember snow from this winter in Illinois. It just seems like it hasn't happened yet. And we need to see some of these things change around in order for that to occur.
In South America, what are conditions like today?
Well, soaking wet in central Brazil. We've been talking about that now for about a month. There are some places in the last month that have seen over 30 inches of rain. And as a result, the first crop of soybeans is not coming out fast. And there's now starting to be people lowering estimates because they can't get one crop out and another crop in. Now, about a third of the crop is in Mato Grosso, and that place is like just having the best year it could imagine. It was dry enough recently to get one crop out and get the Safrinha in, and the yields that were coming out were huge. Argentina, though, is the problem area. They still have another 7 or 8 days of very hot and dry conditions in Argentina, and that's just going to further hurt the crop in that area. But we just don't see a lot of action on it because of what Brazil's going to produce. But we need to watch central Brazil carefully because the next 15 days continue to look wet, and that pushes them later and later on a harvest of soybeans and a planting of Safrinha corn. And that could be a decent market signal for us going forward.
Hey, thanks much. We'll see you Tuesday.
All right. Thank you.
That is Eric Snodgrass. He is with Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible, and will join us Tuesday at the All Day Ag Outlook. You can too. Online, register at willag.org or farmdocdaily.illinois.edu.